Amen. Paul and Silas, Paul and his buddy Silas, and then we found out in the reading, there's a guy in the background that wasn't mentioned here. His name is Timothy. But Paul and his buddy Silas were doing some evangelism in a town in northern Greece. That town was called Thessalonica. Now today, Thessalonica still exists. It's the second largest city in Greece. It has over 1 million people living there. So it's a big city. And so in Paul's day, it was also a big city. It was one of those bigger communities. It made sense that when Paul was doing evangelism and he came into Greece, that he would go to a big city because you would do ministry there, evangelism. People would become followers, and then they would go out from the big city. Does that make sense? Like New York City is the hub, and then you have an effect on broader parts of the country. So he goes to Thessalonica, does his thing there. He begins to do his preaching, and a congregation is formed. But as you know from the reading a minute ago, and if you've read the book of Acts and chapter 16 and into 17, you find out that he was persecuted in Thessalonica, and he had to flee. He had to flee town. They didn't receive his message kindly. Even though he spoke it kindly, they didn't receive it kindly. Can that happen? Absolutely. You can speak a message kindly, but it's not received kindly. And so he is forced to flee, and he goes to a city that it's about 45 minutes or 45 miles away, today 45 minutes. And it says this in the text at the beginning of our reading, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. So key, they hid him during the day. And when the people that were threatening Paul were in bed sleeping, then Paul and his buddy Silas, and we also know that Timothy was with them, were sent away to Berea. Now, again, Berea is 45 minutes away. How did they get there? They walked. So I'm going to tell you, I drove 45 miles today to get here. I did not walk. Because if I started walking, Nellie says it, you wouldn't be here. It means, Nellie, I would have left on Friday. You see how it works? So it's always, we always forget that, you know, because in our mode of transportation, we just get in a car and we go somewhere and we're there. We just get there. But when it says that Paul and Silas were sent away to Berea, a suburb, a town a bit out in the country, about 45 miles, that this was not just an overnight walk. This was a few days. And they arrive into Berea, and they do get out of town, and they get there safely. I expect that when Paul got to Berea, and he started preaching with his buddy Silas, Timothy in the background, that he was a bit off balance. Does that make sense? I mean, you're persecuted in one place. Don't you feel a bit off balance if you went to another place? And what are they going to do with the ministry? I mean, that is a reality, right? So if you're persecuted in one place, doesn't that make you scared in the next place? In my early days as a teacher, I had a pretty hard time in one classroom. Of course, I was 24 years old at the time. How old are you, Charles? 21. Yeah, 21. You're a baby yet. You're going to be Charles in a minute. But Tristan is 24, who's on vacation right now. And I remember standing in front of this classroom of high school seniors who were taller than me, louder than me. It's my third year of teaching, but I hadn't worked with big people before. I had worked with, you know, fifth and sixth graders. I was pretty intimidated. And in that particular class, there were people that were out to make my life very difficult. And they did. And they made it very hard. It was one of, as I learned in my career, been teaching now for decades, what I learned in my career, that was one of the worst classes that I would ever have in 45 years. Isn't that something? It was one of the worst group of kids I had in 45 years. Now, they're all adults someplace doing their thing, and I bless them. But they were, 45 years ago, the most difficult group of kids I ever worked with. I finished the school year, and as one wise veteran teacher told me, remember, they leave, you stay. I thought those were great words of wisdom. They leave, you stay. So the next school year started, and you can only imagine how I started the next school year. I started the next school year, and I was in control. I had rules, I had structure, I was all over the class. Except that this class ended up being one of the best classes that I ever had in my whole career. And at one point in the school year, they said to me, "What is wrong with you?" And I will tell you, it was a moment of transparency on my part, and I learned something. I just looked at them and said, "I am never going to go through what I went through last year." And that class said, "Well, those were terrible people. We are not terrible people." I go, "Oh, they were terrible for them too." Now, the sidebar to all that is I had a girl in that class. Her name was Marcy, and her older sister's name was Gail, and I married her. I have to always note, it was her older sister. You see, it ended up being a rather wonderful class of people. But you anybody know, y'all get it? Don't we all get gun shy? You know, if you suffer in one thing and then you go, "Oh my gosh, I don't want to keep going through this." I think that's what Paul was experiencing when he went into Berea. He was a human being, remember. He says at the end of Philippians chapter 4, a wonderful verse that I just hang on to. He says this, "I have learned the secret of being content." I have learned the secret of being content, which means that he wasn't content. He had to learn it. He didn't have all the answers. He went through trials and tribulations, and he had to figure out how to navigate through them. "I have learned the secret of being content." Now, this verse comes out in verse 11. It says this, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. In essence, what the writer for Acts, Luke, is saying, the people in Thessalonica were jerks. But the people in Berea, they were of more noble character. Now, this is why they were noble. "For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the..." Yeah, you can see it there. "And they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." The point isn't they were more noble in character because they accepted what Paul had to say. The point is that they were willing to examine the scriptures to see what Paul had to say. Was it accurate? They didn't have to be in alignment, but were they accurate? The congregation was a group of people of integrity and objectivity. And they were willing to hear Paul speak and weigh what he had to say. It was clear they examined the scriptures. They embraced it. We're now entering into a 40-day sermon series. Now, I'm not going to preach a sermon every day for 40 days. You get one a week. But we are starting the sermon series of 40 days in the Word. And we're asking you and to be in small groups. And we're asking you to watch Rick Warren videos. We're asking you to fill in the study book, and there's a box back there with a bunch of these. If you don't have one, pick it up. I'm asking you to listen to a bunch of sermons. Guess who's preaching them? And you better like them. And you're going to hear some messages. And maybe what I'm asking you in all of this is that you would be like the Bereans and be noble in character, and noble and objectivity, and have the willingness to seek out Scripture and to examine it. And in the videos that Warren is sharing with us, he's giving you techniques that you can use in order to study the Scripture. And you don't have to be scared of it. Sometimes we look at the Bible, we look at this, give me your Bible, Charles. You look at this thing, and this can be really intimidating. Amen? Yeah, say that with authority. Amen? This can be very intimidating. And you can be scared of these things. And you go, "Well, it's a big book. I don't even know where to begin." This sermon series is addressing that. And it's looking at it. And it's saying, here are techniques so you don't have to be scared of exploring the Scriptures. And by doing so over the next 40 days, that we would be those people of noble character, and that you would examine the Scriptures. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I am fully aware that not every one of us can be in small groups. For whatever the reason is, I really want you in small groups. I want you to have the intimacy of rubbing shoulders with other people, if it's in the Zoom small group or one that meets during the week or my group on a Sunday morning. I want you to be part of small groups, but I also know that life can throw lots of complexity at us. And so the small group videos are going to be online on our website. And you can certainly pick up the book, and if you have to miss a class or you're unable to be part of a small group, you can go and watch the small group video. You can watch it online on our website, and you can fill in the blanks that are in the book, and you can start seeing the kinds of the kind of information that he has in here, because not only does he have the information on the lessons that follow his lectures, but there's a whole bunch of other information that's in this book as well. I'm just saying, folks, be the Bereans. Be noble in character. Be willing to examine the Scriptures. Get your life into the Word. For as Warren says, when you get into the Word, when you get into it, you start living it out. So the Word lived out. This is Rick Warren. This is one quote from Rick Warren. He says this: I do guarantee you this. That's a guarantee. And this is a guarantee. I don't think any of you will disagree with it. You will have storms in your life. Amen? Will there be storms? Yes. There'll be emotional storms, health storms, financial storms. If you are not built on solid rock, on the foundation of something that doesn't shift, you're going to crumble. You can't build your life on the opinion of others. That's called social media. You can't build your life on popular opinion. You can't build your life on culture. You must build it, he says, on unchanging truth. Now, I don't think any of you would disagree with that. I don't think any of us would. We all know we're going to hit storms, and we all have to say, how do we navigate through the storms? What's the foundation that holds us together? In fact, I could even say from his quote where he says that we're going to have all these storms, I get really annoyed about that. And maybe you're with me. You kind of figure, why all the storms? Give me a break. Anybody feel that way? Just give me a break. Enough with the storms. But it's a reality. It's how our world exists. And so in a world that goes from one storm to the next storm, and you're kind of, if you're not in a storm right now, praise God, you're in a valley, celebrate it. Because you know there's one coming. It's the way life works. Doesn't that sound futile? Doesn't it sound crisis? Man, what miserable message today. But the fact of the matter is you all get it. You live it. You're in it. So how do we navigate through those storms? And I'm going to say, for a follower of Jesus, it's being intimate into the Scriptures, and let the Scriptures be the anchor that speaks to us that God is hope. That becomes the anchor. In the Scriptures, we learn that we're not abandoned. So you may feel a sense of hopelessness in the storm. I'm just telling you, the Scriptures are clear. You are never abandoned. In fact, the Scriptures are clear. You don't have to cling to the storm, which sometimes we do. We get into a storm and we hang on to it. It goes, no, let go of it, and God will be there in the storm with you, holding you. Now, I know that everything I've just said to you, do you agree with? Say amen. Yeah, this is the problem, because there is a problem. In 2015, Lifeway Research did a study, a survey among followers of Jesus to find out about their biblical reading. What kind of reading do they do? This is what they found out in their study. 45% of people, 45% of church attenders who regularly attend church, regularly means once a week or three times a month, that would be regular. By the way, definition of, we know, we who work in church work stuff, people now believe it's regular to attend church if they go twice a month. That's simply what we have learned. I'm saying that's not regular, that's twice a month. They're saying 45% of people who attend church regularly read the Bible more than once a week. That's pretty good, 45%. More than 40% of church attenders read their Bible occasionally. That means about once or twice a month, 40%. 20%, about 1 in 5 churchgoers, never read the Scriptures. Never read them. Now, am I poor? And some of you are statisticians. I'm not. But I'm going to put some numbers together. It says 60% of us periodically or never read the Scripture. This makes us flabby followers of Jesus. So look at your biblical reading life. Are you a flabby follower? Think about your time in Scripture. I would like to be chiseled, strong, ripped. But what he's saying in his Lifeway research is the Christian community, as a result, because they're not, the majority are not in the Word consistently, what happens then is we get caught by the winds that come along and we get knocked down because we don't have a foundation. This is what James says that Allison read a few minutes ago. And this is from the New International Version. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at the face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, I said, all right, I took another look at another, not a translation, but it's called a paraphrase. This is from the Message paraphrase. And studying in the Bible studies, you'll learn the difference between translations and paraphrases in your small groups. But this is a paraphrase. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, 2 minutes later, have no idea who they are and what they look like. That's what James is saying. Our inconsistency hurts us. And when the storms hit, we have nothing to fall back on to sustain us. Does that make sense? The foundation, as James notes, we forget who we are. And Jesus says in our gospel that the foundation is fractured. Remember, what foundation is your house built on? Sand or rock. It becomes fractured. So we, in essence, become flabby followers of Jesus. That's kind of a sad thing. Now, there is a different way. And it is the road less traveled. The reality is that this road is not easily understood, nor is it easily grasped. Abraham was approached by God to move to a new land, and by faith he steps into the unknown. God tells the husband and wife they will have descendants like the stars in the sky, despite their inability to have children. And you, if you know, if you've read Scripture, you know the story. They were beyond child-rearing age. And she finally had a baby when she was 90. Imagine labor when you're 90. But there would be no question that God did an act, a miracle in their lives. Ruth loves her mother-in-law, Naomi, loves her as her own mom. That's the road less traveled. She was a Moabite, and her loyalty was extraordinary. You and I don't quite get Moabite, except we could say this. Moab was an enemy of Israel, and Naomi was an Israelite who grew up in Bethlehem. Ruth ultimately gets married to Boaz, and she becomes the great-grandmother to King David. She chose the road less traveled. Mary is a young woman simply living life in Nazareth, and an angel approaches her with a gift of having a baby, and his name will be Jesus. And she embraces that walk. That's the road less traveled, Peter walks into the temple to worship after Jesus resurrected, and a lame guy begs for money. Peter extends his right hand, pulls the guy up, and he can walk. That's the road less traveled. All of them intuitively understood that God is the voice of love, and that love embraces us, and love calls us to the different road. And this is the call of Scripture, is to see the voice of love speaking into our lives. When we see it as an obligation to read Scripture, or an obligation to go to a worship service, just an obligation, we don't see the voice of love. What we see is an obligation. And we all know, if someone pushes you to do something, what do? You push back and say no. So what breaks down the no? Love. Love does. Jesus, love. Jesus lives. Jesus dies. Jesus resurrects. Jesus calls us, you and me, to step forward into this broken, fractured, angry world. And he says, bring my love to this world. And you read about that love where? In the Scriptures. So being in the Word is to hear the voice of love. And so we become, you and I become, the expression of love. We do. And I want you, even in all my broken sin, which I am a miserable sinner. I'm going home in a few minutes and she'll tell me. I am a miserable sinner. And in all of that, can they see the voice of love? That's where Scripture is. That's the extraordinary story. It is. You and I get the privilege of traveling the road less traveled. And Jesus said it this way, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The road less traveled, that's a different foundation from the world. And that foundation sustains us. And that foundation is found in Scripture. And our call to examine the Scriptures. So yes, you and I begin a 40 days of exploring the Scriptures together and doing a focus on it. And we're going to talk about the power and the influence of the Bible. We're going to talk about doing personal Bible study. And over the weeks, we're going to talk about tools on how to do personal Bible study. And yes, I want you to be in a small group, and they meet at all sorts of different times, even on Zoom. Please join. Please join one. Please. And let's walk the road less traveled. In Christ's name, amen.